Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And we are following day three of the president's impeachment trial in the Senate, something that a lot of people are monitoring on their smartphones. Smartphones have become integral to many of our lives, but according to the consulting firm Deloitte, most Americans say they are on them too much. Cal Newport has been calling on people to rethink phone use. He's the author of Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World. He's also associate professor of computer science at Georgetown University. I spoke with him last year when he made his case that many of us are addicted to our devices.
It's a different type of addiction that you would have with a substance. It's what a psychologist would call a moderate behavioral addiction, which means if you have it around, you're probably going to use it more than is healthy.
Has it always been like that since we've had smartphones, or do you think it's gotten to a level that it's much worse than before?
Well, it's definitely gotten worse. A big part of this is that the user experience of social media was re-engineered so that it would foster more compulsive use. So Facebook 10 years ago is an experience that's very different than Facebook today. 10 years ago, you're looking at your friends' profiles. Mm-hmm. Today, it's this unending stream of rich rewards, likes and tags and comments that are coming at you all day long that you have to keep compulsively checking.
You point out, actually, that they changed the color of the notification alert from blue to red because it sets off an alarm bell in your head. Oh, I've got to check something.
Yeah, the designer said, of course, this should be within our palette, so it should be blue. But the attention engineer said, you know, if it's alarm red, people are going to click more. More clicks is more user engagement minutes. More user engagement minutes is more revenue.
And what does that do to us, the user?
Well, the main complaint I've been hearing from people is the sense that they're losing autonomy, by which I mean this idea that they have to keep going to the phone more than they think is useful, more than they think is healthy, to the exclusion of things they know are more important, makes it feel like they're losing control over what they're doing with their time and what they're doing with their life.
What are we losing? What are we missing out because of that?
Well, we're missing out on many of the activities that historically we need to flourish as human beings. So something as simple as solitude, that is just time alone with your own thoughts to reflect and think about things that are important, or just simple real-world analog conversation where you could sit across from someone and see how their body language shifts. These basic activities, which is crucial to a flourishing, functional human life, we're omitting them as we spend more and more time just tending this digital stream.
And you point out that one of the reasons for that is because when we look at a new app, for example, we only think about the benefit. We don't think about the cost. And good old Henry David Thoreau would have said, think about the cost.
Exactly. Thoreau was a great minimalist, and he had this idea that if you just look at the benefits, you become a maximalist. So you're always just trying to maximize the number of these little benefits that you've accrued. But in doing that, you miss what are the cost, what do you actually have to pay to get these benefits. And in particular, he said, what is the cost in terms of your life energy, your life force, time you could be spending on something more important? So the maximalists think they're better off because they're hunting down all these small scraps of value. But what they're really missing out on is the great satisfaction that comes from taking that energy and consolidating it on the small number of things that you know for sure are really important to you.
Okay, so we've laid out the problem, and I bet a lot of our listeners are thinking to themselves right now, oh my God, what am I going to do about this? I'm addicted to my device. So let's shift focus here and talk about some of the solutions that you talk about in this book. And one of them is to give up everything for 30 days.
Yeah, start from scratch. Clear it all out. Step away for 30 days. Get back in touch with what you really care about, what you want to spend your time on. And then when you're done with the 30 days, rebuild that digital life from scratch, but do it this time with real intention.
That's got to be really hard to do, though, to give it all up for 30 days in this modern world.
It sounded hard to me. So when I put a call out to my readers to say, hey, who wants to do this experiment? I thought maybe 20 or 30 people would volunteer. Instead, 1,600 people signed up to spend the month of January 2018 without this technology. Mm-hmm. And that's what told me, yeah, it's hard, but the way that we're living now is even harder. People are hungry and ready for a change.
And you say that in the first couple of weeks, it was very hard. And then they kind of thought, maybe this is not such a bad thing.
One young woman told me that during the first week, she was so used to checking her phone for new information that after she took all of the apps off for this declutter, she found herself compulsively checking the weather app because it was the last thing that was left on there that you could click on and maybe get some new information. But after about 10 days, 14 days, that went away. And most people reported that by the time they got to the end of the 30 days, they had really lost their taste for having this low-quality, always-on digital stream being a part of their life.
Right. Well, there is a level of boredom that you would be afraid of. These days, when you're standing in line at the supermarket, you know, you can pull out your phone and get caught up on what's happened, but you wouldn't be doing that in the world that you're describing.
Boredom is really important in my world. I mean, having on a regular basis time where it's just you alone with your thoughts, just observing what's going on, thinking about the random things that pop into your head. This might sound intolerable to the modern smartphone sort of infected individual, but it's actually absolutely crucial to resetting your mind, to having insights, to having successful self-reflection. And so boredom is good. You know, someone was telling me today about how they remembered fondly when you were at the bar waiting for your friend to get there. And the conversations you would have with just the random person next to you or talking to the bartender, there was just something social and connecting about that, that we forget how those simple things really went a long way to humanizing the people around us.
And now we would just look down at our phone if we're sitting there at the bar waiting for somebody.
We all do. And what we don't recognize is how recent and arbitrary this is. This notion that a smartphone needs to be a constant companion, something that you look at all day long like an air traffic controller managing this influx of information and sending your missives out into the world. We're used to that. But to someone who was, let's say, going in a time machine from 7 years ago, would look at this and say, this is really unusual. What are you guys doing?
What about the idea that on a network like Facebook, we're able to stay in touch with hundreds of people that we've known in our lives and know when they have a baby or when they're going on vacation or whatever, and that we wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have something like that?
I think that's okay. I think this notion that you need to know that someone that you met 25 years ago just had another kid, that this is somehow crucial to be social, it just doesn't match the history of human sociality.
What if somebody is listening and they think, I can't do 30 days without my device? Is there something less intense that I can do?
Well, there's two exercises you could do to essentially warm up for the big event, which is the 30-day break. And so the two exercises I recommend is, one, take off your phone any app in which someone makes money every time you click on it. You don't have to quit the services. You can still access them on your laptop or desktop. You just don't have them with you throughout the day. My second recommendation is start working on reintroducing the type of high-quality analog leisure activities that we used to fill our time with. So when the time comes to actually step away from technology and start from that blank slate and rebuild your digital life, you're not going to be staring into the abyss. You're going to know what you want to do with your time and be excited about it.
Well, you actually talk in this book about somebody who took a break from digital devices and managed to read, what, 6 books in a couple of weeks or 8 books in a couple of weeks?
A lot of people gave me a similar story. People kept sending me tallies, their book tallies. They were so proud, but they were also really happy about it because they forgot how satisfying that is to go deep on something as opposed to just skimming, swiping, and tapping.
You say some people actually go for the old-fashioned flip phone just to try to minimize the amount of time they spend on the phone.
This is becoming more popular. It's interesting. I've been reporting on this sub. This is now a trend, this notion that you have a simple flip phone. There's some new ones that they're building which look really nice. You could text message on them. You could take phone calls, and that's it. And people are reporting back to me that when you cut off that digital stream that's constantly pulling at your attention and you're just there in the world, it's like you're living a completely different style of lifestyle. So I'm not surprised that this trend is starting to spread again.
Cal Newport, I'm going to make a prediction right now, which is that if we were to play this interview again in 2 years, we'd still be facing the exact same issues that you're talking about right now. Why is it so hard for us to fix this problem?
Well, I'm not sure if your prediction is going to come true because something I've noticed, and I've been writing and talking about this for years and years, is that there's something different in the air right now. I mean, people used to tell self-deprecating jokes about how much they use their phone, but when they would meet me and find out I didn't use social media, they would think I'm weird. This has really changed. Something's in the air. I think people are finally getting fed up with how much of their humanity they're losing to always staring at these screens. And so my more optimistic prediction is that we have become so tired of how enslaved we've become that we are going to revolt. And so if we came back 2 years from now, my hope is what we would be saying is, can you believe that we ever used to live that way?
Well, and one of the things that really makes you think in this book is you bring up people like Martin Luther King and the idea that solitude was actually very important to him being able to think some of his most important thoughts.
Well, this is one of the biggest unintended consequences of what we've engineered in this digital age, is that it's made it possible to banish completely time alone with your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. This is a huge novelty in human history, and it's not good for us. And so, yeah, I do go back and retell the story of Martin Luther King's kitchen table conversion experience, because for him, like for everyone, time alone with your thoughts is where real self-development, self-reflection, and progress is made. You have to put in those hours of just thinking about yourself, your life, and what you're all about if you want to get anywhere worth going.
Cal Newport, author of Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World. He's also associate professor of computer science at Georgetown University. We spoke last February. You can read an excerpt from his book at hereandnow.org, or you could just go outside, not use your device, not look at the computer screen at all.